May we help to commence our weeknight service by singing together hymn 1102, hymn 1102, June Rosso, 687. Why those fears? Behold, 'tis Jesus holds the helm and guides the ship. Spread the sails and catch the breezes, sent to waft us through the deep, to the regions where the mourners cease to weep. Led by him, we brave the ocean, each tumultuous storm defy, calm amidst tempestuous motion, knowing that the Lord is nigh. Waves obey him, and the storms before him fly. Hymn 1102, June Rosso, 687.
Thank you.
Let us read together for our instruction two portions of God's holy word. The first is you'll find in the first book of Chronicles, chapter 16. The first book of Chronicles, chapter 16, and we'll read to the end of verse 36. Then we'll follow it with Psalm 99. The first book of Chronicles, chapter 16, and read in the first 36 verses. So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of the offering of burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread, and a good piece of flesh, and a flagon of wine. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph the chief, and next to him Zechariah, Jeiel, and Shemaramoth, and Jehiel, and Mattathiah, and Eliab, and Benaniah, and Obed-Edom, and Jeiel, with psalteries and with harps. But Asaph made a sound with cymbals. Benaiah also, and Jehaziel, the priests, with trumpets, continually before the ark of the covenant of God. Then on that day David delivered first this psalm, to thank the Lord, into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually. Remember his marvellous works that he hath done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God, his judgments are in all the earth. Be mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham, and of his oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, and the lot of your inheritance, when ye were but few, even a few and strangers in it. And when they went from nation to nation, and from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth.
show forth from day to day his salvation, declare his glory among the heathen, his marvellous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honour are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering. Come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. The world shall also be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice, and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel for ever and ever. And all the people said, Amen, and praised the Lord. We will now turn to Psalm 99. Psalm 99. The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. The king's strength also loveth judgment. There dost establish equity. There executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Exhort ye the Lord our God, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinance that he gave them. Thou answerest them, O Lord, our God. Thou wast God, wast the God that forgavest them, though thou tookest vengeance of their inventions. Exhort the Lord our God, and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. The Lord bless his own word to us and help us to pray. Gracious and merciful Lord God, as we are brought together at this time to worship thee, may our worship be in spirit and in truth. O Lord, we know that if we come in our own manner, which is, by the way, fleshly kind, then we shall obtain no good end. But if we come in thy precious name, if we come seeking mercy, if we come as helped by the Spirit to pour out our hearts before thee, if we come, Lord, in faith, then we believe that thou wilt regard us and therefore hear our petition as we seek that thou wilt send down blessings upon us. We acknowledge that we are not worthy of the least of thy favours. Indeed, O Lord, we deserve the punishment which is due unto man who has sinned, and we are not guiltless in it. We find again and again that our old nature seems to get the upper hand. Satan gains the field, and we feel therefore left and bereft. But Lord, may we find that at such moments there is a cry that goes out from our heart and says, Lord, leave me not. But thy promise then will be sweet indeed when applied to our souls. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so, Lord, we prove that if for a small moment we may feel forsaken, if the tides of trouble overflow us, like the floods in the days of Noah, yet, Lord, thy loving kindness is still the same. And therefore thou hast promised to bring us through, to bring us out of those things, that thou mayest bring us to a prepared place. And Lord, that place may not be here or there as such, but rather something experienced when we feel that thou art near, and the place where we may stand for that moment may become sacred ground, but not for us to then idolize the place. For as it was known unto Jacob of old, he was blessed at Bethel, but he could not remain there, did not remain there. In mercy he did return there, and thou didst bless him a second time. Lord, may it therefore be our consolation that thou dost perform thy sovereign goodness and mercy unto thine own dear people. And therefore may we prove that wherever we may be, thou mayest follow with thy goodness. And Lord, if thou dost follow, it is because thou hast gone before. And so we seek that we may have that direction to be directed in all our ways, and that thou wilt guide us, by guide us in our spiritual experiences, and guide us, Lord, in our providential concerns. And may we see, Lord, thee going before us in those things. How we often need the mountains to flow down at thy presence. But who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, the heavenly Zerubbabel, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, before him they may become a plain. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt grant help as we are thus gathered in hearing and in speaking. Thou knowest our great need. Lord, we know that if thou hast emptied us, and thou dost empty, let us empty the hearers of all the concerns and cares that they may be burdened with, that they might then receive at thy hand that something. But we often have to prove that we cannot empty ourselves, neither would we dare to do so, lest we should be perpetually empty. But thou dost empty who thou dost fill. And that, Lord, is the difference that we would regard with regard concerning that which is real and that which is of the flesh. Lord, we pray therefore that thou dost empty us, graciously fill us. Fill one's mouth with words that may be spoken in unction and power. Lord, may the ear be opened to receive the word, and the heart also to rejoice in it. So we seek these things. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt grant thy blessing upon this little people. Thou knowest, Lord, how they are ministered and brought low. But thou, Lord, canst still remain with them. We ever thank thee for the word and the promise that where two or three are gathered together in thy name, there thou art in the midst. We bear before thee thy dear servant with us, and to seek that he may be blessed in his many labours. We pray that thy word may have free course that goes forth from his lips and does good unto one or another. O Lord, we do need that word sent, and then it will be good. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt grant thy continued help to our friend at the desk, and in all his concerns, and as he shoulders the burdens, not only of this place, but also many other things, for which he has been called upon to be exercised in. We are thankful, Lord, that there are those raised up to bear these things, having ability to do so. And Lord, we are thankful for our God-given abilities. But also, Lord, we may have to realise our failings, and we can only do as thou dost help. And often, Lord, we find that we need to lean the harder in the various matters that concern us, whether in preaching, or in maintaining thy house, or in business, or in studies, as it may be, for the younger generation. Lord, whether it is in keeping home, the bringing up of children, all these things, Lord, we would be dependent. Make us dependent. Lord, we pray also that thou wilt grant thy blessing upon our dear aged friend and sister in her weakness. And we seek, Lord, that thou wilt help her and maintain her. There are others, Lord, that are listening in, maybe, and if so, that they may also be profited in their listening. We would pray, Lord, for the young, the children, thy blessing to be upon them, Lord, and those that are kept because of their parental responsibilities. We pray that thou wilt help them as they grow up into years, keep them from the many evils. May it be that they, with one in the recorded in thy word, that the fear of the Lord was in his heart. And may it be, whether it be a male or female, that that gracious work may be begun at an early age and may prove to be that unctuous light to what is right and a bar to that which is wrong. O Lord, how we need that bar to be put in its place, so that it becomes a right and a blessed hindrance to our old nature that will pursue things unlawful and inexpedient and sometimes, Lord, most grieving unto thee. Lord, we do therefore pray that our young may be kept, and as they are kept, so to be exercised in those things which are good, even the ways of truth and righteousness. Now, Lord, we also pray that thou wilt be mindful of us in this solemn day in which we live. Lord, what evils abound, and that which has been proposed by our government, our varying things, bringing in assisted dying, and also that which would be against what is called we forget the name, but it is to shut the mouths and of those that minister in the word, and that even pray in public places, and they may find that they are brought before the courts and made guilty of that which they are not guilty of. Lord, may it be that such legislation will be overthrown. Lord, we do pray also for many other things which we will not name at this time, but we do seek that thou wilt look upon thine own dear people and deliver them out of the hands of those that would seek to undermine our Protestant constitution. Indeed, much has been done to undermine it, but to further bring those things about which could bring persecutions of a different kind to which our forefathers may have known, but nonetheless with the subtlety of Satan to make things difficult both in the workplace and also in the neighbourhood, and how parents may bring up children that if they do what we believe is according to the word of God, they may then be brought before the courts and brought to be questioned by the arm of the law. Oh, we pray that there would appear, and rather than that evil should be promoted, but rather that it should be constrained. Oh, do Lord have mercy. And now we pray for our King, we seek thy mercy upon him in his present condition, that thou wilt grant him to realize how eternity is before him. Oh, that it might be a solemn sound and a dreadful wound to him, to bring him to realize his great need of salvation. Lord, we pray therefore that thou would have mercy upon him, his queen and or consort also, and those members of the royal family who also are afflicted, we bear before thee. And now do pardon us, we pray, of all that we've uttered amiss in our many, many sins, and make up in giving where we failed in asking. So we ask it in and through the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen.
May we be helped to continue by singing together hymn 326 to the tune of Jonathan 356. Hymn 326. Let me but hear my Saviour say, strength shall be equal to thy day. Then I rejoice in deep distress, leaning on all-sufficient grace. I glory in infirmity, that Christ's own power may rest on me. When I am weak, then am I strong. Grace is my shield, and Christ my song. Hymn 326, tune Jonathan 356. Thank you.
the Lord may be pleased to help me, I would direct your attention to Psalm 99 and read in the first two verses. The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. Psalm 99 and the first two verses. The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. These psalms in this part of the Word of God, particularly the 96th psalm, which is incorporated in our reading in the first book of Chronicles, that 16th chapter, when David desired that the ark may be brought again to Jerusalem, to its place where he may raise a tent. Before there was the temple built, and he had desired to build an house for the Lord, and yet it was not in the Lord's purpose that he should so do, but was rather to be in Solomon's hands to build a temple. And as that may set before us typically, that David, who though a gracious king, yet he was the king of that Old Testament era, and there represented the manner of worship which David loved. And he came and sat before the Lord and desired him to have mercy upon him, feeling his unworthiness. And David also was diligent in all those things concerning the Lord's house. He was a one whom the Lord raised up, a man after his own heart, God's own heart. But there was a greater than David, a heavenly Solomon, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's own dear Son, whom he would send into the world, and thereby he would be set before the people as the one who was first sent, and also to be king, and that it should be declared amongst the heathen, and that those that were to be called unto the kingdom might indeed rejoice and be glad. Now, what a word we have here set before us, a declaration, the Lord reigneth. Where would we be if he did not reign? He reigns over all the enemies to bring them to his feet and to deal with them according to his holiness. And what a solemn thing it is to be brought there. But if through the mercy of God he hears our petition and hearkens to our cry when we beat upon our breast and plead for mercy, because we realize that he has the sovereign power to either cast us out forever or to receive us through the merits of his own dear Son. The merits of his own, if we consider the dear Son as being the one who is our King, and he is. The Lord reigneth, and he reigneth in all his majesty. What a glory there is in his reign. And he does show that majesty in varying ways. There is a majesty to be seen when he pours out his wrath against sin and upon the sinner who continues in his evil ways and is no evidence of any sorrow for what he has done, and neither does he care for what he may do. Man, in his stubbornness and pride, will not think he is responsible in any manner to serve a holy God. But we have to prove that whatever we may have set before us in the Word, we had no power of ourselves to keep it. There were the commandments written upon stone, and yet that could not be kept. We may point the finger at the Israelites and say, how dreadful when they saw the mighty arm that had brought them out of Egypt, and there they were setting up an idol, a golden calf, to worship that, and even to say, these be our gods that brought us up out of Egypt. We're no better, are we, in ourselves, if left to ourselves. It's only the sovereign work of God's mercy that brings us to see the wonder of a reigning God, and that he not only reigns to deal with all matters which concern the earth, we may say concern the universe, the creation, all things that move, and the things that grow, and those things that are seen, they are all of him. And we find that there is often much in the Psalms where there is thankfulness unto those things. So we may thank him as the Creator, but to be brought to thank him as a Redeemer. And now he reigns not only over his creation, and he reigns to accomplish that redemption. And he redeems his people from their enemies and brings them free from those enemies in his time, in his way, by his appointment. And we may perhaps often go on struggling against those powers of which we have no strength to resist. And yet the Lord reigneth. The Lord reigns to bring all those things to that militate against the child of God, against Zion, against his church, and against himself, to bring them all to nothing. And with what an awful thing it will be to those that the nations that forget God and that turn from him, that the Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth with regard to his people. And it is very conspicuous to be seen in those experiences that they are brought into. your opening hymn dealt with the account of those disciples that were in the deep, and likened it to us that have to pass through the depths of seas and waters. The greater wonder of it is that his sovereign, omnipotent eye is realized to be upon us. And when he was there in the mount, yet he observed and saw. He saw them toiling in rowing, and he went to them. That is a sovereign God that would thus come to such in their great need. But that is the evidence of one of those attributes of our God, that he is full of mercy and pity. And like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. That little crew, God fearing as they were, yet they were also filled with many other fears that rose up. They were having to deal with a storm, which they perhaps rarely had to deal with, though they were, we may say, masters of the sea. It wasn't that they had not coped with storms, but this one, they could not proceed to the other side as the Lord had encouraged them. Would they come to the other side? There's another question sometimes. Will we come to our desired haven, if it is a desired haven with us? But so much may seem to militate against it, that we may be ready to give up, and to struggle no more, to come to the end, our wit's end. But often the wit's end is the place for our turning. In this way, that they were at their wit's end, then they cried unto the Lord, and he delivered them out of all their distresses. The Lord reigneth. You see how the Lord will reign and command the waves to abate, and the winds to cease, and the fears to then be brought to an end. A sweet confidence of faith. And yet even that was tried. Peter, realizing it was the Lord, said, "Bid me come unto thee." The Lord permitted it. Come. You'd have thought then all would have been well. But it wasn't long before Peter realized the waves that were beneath him, the sea and the waters, and he began to sink. But the Lord reigneth. He reigns that he might put forth that hand and take hold of his beloved Peter and bring him again into the ship and rebuke then the waves and the wind. And so they were brought to land. Well, the Lord reigneth. It is therefore particularly where relative to Zion or the church or as individuals of or members of the church, the mystical body, that we know that the Lord reigns. And he reigns for them. He reigns over all things with regard to his church, his people. And that we need to realize. The dealings of God with man are to this end, that he may be seen to reign over his church, his people, and that these are the subjects of the kingdom, and these are those that he will have a favour towards and will bring at last. Sometimes it is at last, isn't it? To bring a poor, wretched, vile sinner to himself and to realise that here is one who has a kingdom. And, oh, shall I be of that kingdom? The dying thief, we know, he observed that this man, there in the midst, between himself and his fellow robber and a sinner, the one continued railing on him to say, he saved others, save us. Save us. But the dying thief, as he is called, yes, he saw the one in the midst as being sinless, he who knew no sin, and therefore did not deserve this punishment, which was brought about through wicked hands, but also brought about through God's sovereignty, because he hung there as a substitute in the sinner's place. And here was a sinner saying, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Who could snatch such a brand from the burning, from the awful consequences of his sin? Who could deliver him out of a lost eternity, from hell and all its flames, which may be considered to thus be a fire which is never quenched? What mercy extends from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to save one of the worst of sinners? But the Apostle Paul, he could understand. He himself as being a persecutor, as being injurious unto the Lord's people, haling many to prison, as he sought to do when he walked that road toward Damascus. The Lord stopped him. The Lord appeared unto him. And the effect was that Paul would call out, or Saul, as we should perhaps call him, as he was known at that time, to call out, what wilt thou have me to do? There is the humbling evidence of God's work. What wilt thou have me to do? Saul had gone forth doing what he considered was right. He thought he did God's work. There are many that think they can do God's work, but it is that work that needs to be done for us and in us. And that human nature doesn't like. We want to be something, but we must be nothing if we are to be something in and through our great Sovereign, our King, our Lord and Saviour. He who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and humbled himself even to the sufferings of death. Oh, what a contemplation. May faith get a little glimpse of that, and may break out and say, the Lord reigneth. He reigneth that he might pluck this poor soul from his just deserts and to bring him into the banqueting house. And that was something also the spouse was blessed to realize. She knew that the need of his drawings, and that is perhaps one of the most important considerations, that he is sovereign in his drawings. He draws us. How? By the cords of a man and the bands of love. That's sovereign, isn't it? We know that the Lord reigns in. when we know the adamant nature of our old sinful heart, which is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and yet we find that those drawings will draw us out of ourself and unto him. You may say, what do you mean out of oneself? I still find the power of those things which are according to my nature to often rise up. The old man struggles hard to gain the conquest over grace, and oft times seems to gain the field when Jesus hides his face. But though that may be, we have a conquering Lord. He not only conquered those things when he gave himself to be a ransom for many. He not only therefore in submitting to what his own deserved, but would bear the punishment of their just deserts instead, but he would also procure for them all the riches of glory and of grace, or grace and glory. And here we find that the Lord reigneth to give grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And to be brought into that path of uprightness, we will know it is the power of God alone that brings us there. Well then, the Lord reigneth in all his power, his drawing power, to bring a poor sinner into his very presence. And not that they should see and realize the awfulness of his anger, but rather to know the condescension of his mercy, that he comes to the worst of sinners. We spoke about Paul just now. Yes, he was brought to call himself as the least amongst the apostles, the worst of sinners. But the Lord had mercy. The Lord had mercy. we have to prove that we often do many things in ignorance, blind to the ways of God, until the Lord opens our eyes and sweetly compels us to run to Him. It is the Lord that must thus enlarge our heart, and when He does, then we may run in the way of His commandments. We never did that in our unregeneracy, never would have done, unless the Lord had put a new heart within us, and therefore showed His reigning love. Well, the Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. It is a very solemn matter that the Lord should thus exercise His sovereignty and choose whom He will. It is something again which the old nature hates. Election is something, well, is one of the most hated doctrines even amongst the so-called religious Christians. You find there are those that will twist the word to try and make those portions which set forth so clearly election of His own people, and also the predestinating purposes which He has purposed for them in this life and also for eternity. But the child of God is brought to realize with great thankfulness that it is in the Lord's hands our redemption, our justification, our sanctification, our glorification. It's all in His hands. And every time of our life is also in His hand. And He brings these things about. And He gives the command from heaven itself. The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. So we find that there is a trembling. And the Lord would have us to tremble. Unto this man will I look, to him that is of a broken spirit and trembleth at my word. A broken heart. Oh, a heart broken will grieve for grieving Him. And have you grieved Him? If you're honest, you'll have to say, I grieve Him much. And still I grieve Him. Oh, that I could be rid of this wretched self. But alas, alas, we carry about a body of death. A body of death. What causes death? Sin. Therefore, the body of death is a very weighty burden upon the soul of a believer. But the Lord reigneth. He reigneth to subdue those things and to bring us to His feet. And there may be many things that will keep us from Him. We know that dear Martha, what a mercy that the Lord loved her. But there she was, cumbered about with much serving. Doubtless there was a mixture found in her heart a desire to do all that she could for her Saviour. And there is a right desire in that. But is it not often mixed with pride? Or wanting to show ourselves as something? We may, to put it bluntly, there's that in us that would show off, even in our spiritual endeavours. Our spiritual endeavours. The Lord won't have it, will He? No, He will not have us to boast, except that we make Him our boast. As the psalmist said, my boast is in the Lord. Ah, who has done all things well, and He reigneth to do those things. While the Lord reigneth, let the heart therefore be made contrite, broken, and brought to confess. This is something which is must be seen with all those that profess godliness. A broken heart, a confessing of lip, as well as in the heart itself, and a true repentance. But He that roars knows how to bring us submissive to His feet. And what a sweet place when we are brought there. Martha could say, the Lord reigneth, when she was brought to know and realize that which Mary had chosen was that good part. Mary had been brought to make a sweet and blessed choice through the sovereign work of God's grace to come and to learn of Him and sit at His feet. And there the Lord reigneth. But Martha was to prove how the Lord reigned in a very different way at a very different time. Brother Lazarus was sick. Call the Master. And they waited. Lazarus died. Lazarus was put in the tomb. And still the Lord had not come. And yet they still continued to look. Martha was there looking for the Saviour. And when He came, there was a pertinent question to be asked, and that concerned the resurrection. And Martha was clear in this point that He would be raised at the last day, when that resurrection would take place. But now the revelation would sweetly dawn upon her spirit. I am the resurrection and the life. And even now, I can raise one because I have the authority to do so, because I am thy King. And I reign to do these things as the Father has so delivered it for me to do. Therefore I come. I come to raise this one. Yes, that was to show forth the power of God And have you wondered why the Lord has lingered sometimes? You would want him to come now and do the miracle or whatever you may consider it. Bring about the deliverance. But the Lord reigneth. Remember that. The Lord reigneth. He comes in his time. And his time is ever best. Ever best to what end? That his glory might be realized. Let us put that first. Then, secondly, that we might see the wonders of his power and grace extending beyond what we could ever imagine. But you've got to come into that place where all may seem impossible to know what is possible. Impossible with man, but possible with God. The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. I must pass on. He sitteth between the cherubims. And there, that is where the mercy seat. That's where he sits. And he sits there to reign for his people as they make their approaches unto him. And how shall we approach? This is one thing that tried Esther in her situation, that the king of the day had not called her, though she was queen, into his presence. Therefore, in the extremity of what was feared, or in fact was known, would take place if it was permitted, she ventured. What was the means of her acceptance? The scepter. The scepter. That was how she would have to come, venturing, but as soon as the scepter was put forth, then she might come and touch it and know there was acceptance. And that the king reigned to appoint that she may enter into his presence. And now thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy king is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. So our Lord and Saviour is the sceptre of our righteousness, that we may venture and come, pleading his all-pervading name, and to know that he reigns. Do grant us according to our petition. And so the Lord reigns, that we may see that there is acceptance, but what then of the earth? Let the earth be moved or stagger, as the margin reading is. The earth that looks on and sees these poor feeble Jews, as it was in Nehemiah's and Ezra's day, What should I do? Would I be able to build this house? Would I be able to obtain the favours of God? What do these feeble Jews are? The Lord reigneth. And the foundation have been laid. The house will be built. The top stone brought forth, crying grace, grace unto it. That is, that was not only so with a literal temple, not only so with the case of the lively stones of which are the Lord's people, and as they are singled out and brought all to be placed in their place in the heavenly building. But there will be that top stone brought forth, and all then will be complete. And what will the earth do? Well, we know that those in it, they indeed desired some escape when the waters poured down in the days of Noah. Noah was safe enough with his family. Yet the rains were a very real thing. And doubtless they could see goodness and mercy. Noah could see goodness and mercy. And that he was there shut up, shut in with a reigning God. But those poor creatures that were there left outside of it, they were all drowned. So it will be in the great solemn day of judgment. Those that will be cast forever into that fire and know that the earth burnt up, dissolved, rolled away, and who shall stand in that day? But the Lord reigneth. Yes, men may stagger at the fact of what God will do unto them, and what he will do for his people in salvation. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. You see, the Lord reigneth. It says that he looks and he laughs at the wicked. That is, of course, to be considered as in the sense that he'll have them in derision because he sees their foolishness and their wickedness as they go on headlong down to what it will be the consequences of their sin and wretchedness. But one who has been sovereignly chosen, called, brought to rest alone upon the finished work and merits of the Lord himself, knowing that in him is their hope of standing complete and arrayed in that righteousness divine, so that they may have acceptance, and it's all through their King, their bridegroom, the one who adorns his bride with his own blessing and merit. Well, then the Lord reigneth, and so he reigns to bring all those things to their consummation. It is with regard to the bringing of the every one of his members of the church, the mystical church, unto himself. And it is said, and I believe it will be so, that when the last vessel of mercy is called, then the salt would have lost its savour, and there will be no more need, because then all his own will be ready to be gathered, and the Lord reigneth. And so we come to the end now of these remarks with a prospect, such a prospect for the people of God. But oh, what a solemn thing it will be for the wicked. May we be found at last as amongst those as who are called, chosen, and faithful. Well, our time is gone. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn 268. Hymn 268, to the tune Evening Star, number 29. If Jesus kindly say, and with a whispering word, arise, my love, and come away, I run to meet my Lord. My soul is in my ears, my heart is all on flame, my eyes are swiftly drowned in tears, and melted is my frame. My raptured soul will rise and give a cheerful spring, and dart through all the lofty skies to visit Zion's King. Hymn 268, June, Evening Star, 29.
our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, abide with us evermore. Amen.